You're welcome to join me as we read our text this morning. It's going to be the second chapter of Colossians. There are pew Bibles that are there. The page number is 1677. You're looking for the book of Colossians. It's in the New Testament. Each week, I have the honor of writing a note to people that are our shut-ins. These are mostly those that are a little bit older and that have a don't get out of their homes much. And the purpose is to encourage them, to write to them to encourage their faith and so they might grow in faith. Each week, as part of our worship service, there's words that are shared here to encourage your faith and growth in Jesus. That is the topic of the message this morning, growing in Christ. As I think about this, I'm looking for fruit. I'm looking for measurable, practical ways to share that, yes, we're growing in Christ. Part of my role as your pastor is to help lead you into places where you should go and following after Jesus. We don't stay the same. We continue to grow. We continue to be transformed. Looking for that. It's sometimes harder to measure in people. Well, unless they're babies, right? Take, for example, Exhibit A, front pew. Phineas? There he is. Thank you. He will not stay there. We easily see babies grow into toddlers. Toddlers grow into youth and youth to young adults. Not long ago, you were like that. I remember it. Even your sister, Josie, was, I think, being just born when I started here. Where's Josie? She left. They don't change. We can see the growth happening through our physical growth. I told Hannah Culp a couple weeks ago that I've noticed growth in her as a presenter, as a speaker, as she does it more and she has experience and she has some training. Some of you are business owners. How do you measure growth as a business? Some of you are instrumentalists or singers. We can measure growth there. And an athlete or a student, and even in plants and trees. But today we're talking about growth as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And growth in the church, the congregation and congregations. It should be noticeable. It should be measurable. And it should be impacting the world. But growing in Christ is primarily about relationship with Jesus that leads to knowledge, that leads to wisdom, that manifests in personal and corporate transformation while impacting others with actions. Colossians chapter 2, it'll also be on the screen today, so I'm engaging my tech guys. Paul writes, I want you to know how hard I am contending for you and those and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. Remember, Paul had not met these people. He's writing to them from prison. Laodicea was another city near Colossae. Is that, am I saying that right, Leah? Colossae? I don't know. It was part of my critique last week. I wasn't saying the city right. So, Colossians, where the church was. There was another city there, Laodicea and Hierapolis. And Paul, did you actually know that Paul, there was a letter to the church at Laodicea that's not part of our canon, that's not in Scripture? So he wrote a letter to them and encouraged the Colossians to read that letter as well. Anyway, he's contending for them with great effort. With this as a goal. My goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and unified in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God. Ooh, what's that mystery? Namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it comes back to knowing Christ. It's not just gaining wisdom and knowledge. It's a relationship of knowing Christ. There can be some brilliant, biblically knowledgeable people that don't have a really deep relationship with Christ. Knowing Christ. In verse 4, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent with you in body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends upon human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. We heard that back in chapter 1. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. Paul's reminding them of who they are in Christ and what He's done for them. That's part of our growth cycle. It's part of our growth motivation. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Good news, church? Yeah, I like that a lot. He has made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, one for all. Thank you, Jesus. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them. Ha, ha, ha. How? Triumphing over them by the cross. What a paradox. The greatest victory, the greatest triumph is through the Son of God dying on a cross. What a story this is. What a truth. What a love. Verse 16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. False humility is detected if someone's delighting in their humility. You get it? Look at how humble. I am so humble. Wow. I wish you were more like me. I'm so humble. Delighting in false humility. And the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. So be careful, church. He's writing to believers. But a part of those believers says they have lost their connection with the head. Implication, they were once connected to the head. Verse 20, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom, with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. Paul's reminding them there at the end is like, don't get caught up in a bunch of to-dos. It's mostly about relationship and knowing Christ and being with Him. Let me walk you through some things today that I hope encourages you along your path of growing in Christ. First of all, the ideal. That growth is the default. We should be growing. right? There's analogies in the bodies about the body, the church being the physical body, or the church, we're being branches that come from the true vine, right? We should see growth. Paul writes, my goal is that they may encourage and harden united in love so that they may have a full riches of complete understanding in order they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is Lord. He is the head. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. We connect to him to live. All of us know the importance of staying connected to a power source. You all do. Don't you? Don't you? Right? Look, all right. How many phones? Right here. Go a day without it, without charging it. Where's my power cord? Where's my source? Where's my power? And you start to make some decisions based upon that lack of connectivity. You'll be urgently looking. My phone's dead. I got to do something about that. Go one day without eating or drinking food, and your body will let you know that something's missing. So, church, is it possible that many of us in the church have normalized living in long stretches without regular connections to Jesus? Paul wants them to grow through connecting to Jesus. Grow through connecting to Jesus to be encouraged in heart. You connect to Jesus and you read this passage and you're like, he forgave all my sins. He did it through dying on the cross. Man, God loves me. Encouraging your heart. Jesus loves me. I am his. He has purchased me. Growth through connection to Jesus is then you're united to love. I'm not alone in this. You're not alone. We're together. We're the body. We're all held together by Christ. It brings us a unity. I am loved and I can love others. And growth through connection to Jesus, knowing him, knowing Jesus. It comes back to this, knowing him as a person. Not just knowledge about Jesus, but knowing him as if you're talking to someone. As if you're singing to someone, as if you're following someone, in him, the full riches of complete understanding are found. Growth looks like us seeking understanding through the perspective of Jesus and his kingdom and finding wise answers through his truth and his example. Connecting to the head. Jesus is the fullness of the deity. In Christ, believers have been brought to fullness. Jesus is the head over every power and authority. Remember that, church. Over every worldly power, over ever spiritual forces. There's growth in remembering who we are in Jesus. Circumcised by Christ in the heart, we're buried with him in baptism into his death. We have to be into his death. You can't skip the death part. To be alive in his resurrection, you have to go into his death because in his death, all of our sin and shames are accounted for. We have to go into his death so that we can then live with him through his resurrection. Praise be to God. We are alive in Christ, raised with him. We're forgiven all of our sins. Remembering who we are in Jesus is great for your growth. Remembering who you are in him. Some days the growth that we need is moving away from self-shaming. If you're your worst and hardest critic, you need to back off yourself. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit, whose job is to convict us of truth and righteousness. But when you begin to self-shame and self-condemn, you treat yourselves in a way that Christ would not. For there now is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So some days our growth is moving away from identifying with our struggles to recalling what has happened to us through our relationship with Jesus and identifying through him. We were dead in our sins, but now we are alive in Christ Jesus. And we can be thankful for that. Paul writes of some in the congregation, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. God's the change, a growth agent. We connect to Christ, the head. So here's the default. The default standard, return to standard, right? Let's reset and go back to the default. It's for the church and believers, follower of Jesus, to stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus, the head, the true vine, the living water, and grow as God causes it to grow. I'm not sure what that growth is going to look like in you, but there are ways and there is a season for you to grow. Gardeners and farmers do not have to pull the plant up from the soil. The default is for that to grow. Arborists push and pull a tree from the ground? No. These things are designed to grow as they are connected to the right elements. Connecting to the head for growth is the default for your personal growth and for the growth of the kingdom through the church. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is the kingdom of heaven default to keep God at the center, to celebrate and marvel that God is on the throne and that we are in his presence. It's the default of the kingdom of heaven to magnify and worship Jesus, the Lamb of God. When we're singing songs of worship together, the splendor of the King clothed in majesty, and we're looking to God in heaven, there's something about that that engages the spirit and the soul and remind you, like, this is right. This is right. How great is our God? When we're singing it together and we're putting our fully self into that, doesn't your spirit and soul remind you, like, yep, this is right on. I was made for this. Growth is a default. So the question then is, are we growing? Are you growing? Are you connected to the head? Paul writes about how disciplined they are. So let's talk about growth from a disciplined living. Growth is found through consistency in the disciple, in the discipline of healthy practices, as God works through these things. I saw this quote from Craig Groeschel this week. He's a pastor of a large church. He writes a lot of books. He says, as much as we wish we did, most of us don't drift towards good habits. Do you drift towards good habits? Oh, yeah, man, I do. I drift right towards healthy eating. I drift right towards exercising. I drift right towards spending time with God. It just flows. Wrong. Doesn't. As much as we wish we did, we don't. We don't accidentally work out. We don't randomly spend time with God. We don't stumble into wise eating choices. And we don't fall into effective leadership. That's why it's important to decide in advance what matters most and build your life around it. If what you're doing has purpose, you will fight to protect it. The what may not keep you going, but the right why will. Why, church? Why are you here? There's a one-word answer I'm fishing for. Why are you here? I tech people want you to get it right. The LOI is Jesus. Connect to the head. He'll tell you. He'll remind you of the why. Just as an athlete, they're not going to grow into shape and reach top performance through one workout a week. A pianist will not grow as an accomplished player through one engagement of playing a week. We will also not become Christ-like by connecting to Jesus once a week for an hour or two on Sunday morning. If our why, Jesus the Lord, the Creator and Supreme Ruler, is above all things and holds all things together, why would we not want to spend more time with Him and time every day? My fear is that too many in the church just don't know Jesus that well. My fear is that our desires are diluted by all the things of this world. My fear is that we've lost track of our first love. And maybe we've never loved him truly at all. My hope is that we might be encouraged to live our lives for Christ. Paul writes this to the church. So then, just as you received Christ, Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. It comes with knowing Jesus. It starts with looking at His love for us. And Paul says, I want you to live for Him now, just as you received Him. Remember that. I thought about that this week. Receiving Christ as Lord, it was not a decision someone else made for me. It was a decision that I made for myself through hearing the gospel, prompting, hearing God's pulling on my heart. It was a decision that I made to walk after Him. Our decision to live for Jesus requires intentionality. It doesn't happen haphazardly. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord is how we're to continue to live our lives in Christ. Receiving Jesus Christ is a personal decision. Receiving Christ as Lord is a response to the truth of His character and a confession of your need. Just as you were active in saying, Jesus, I need You. Would You be my Savior and my Lord? We also need to activate faith daily as you strive to live your lives in Him. Christianity is not passive. It's active. It's not a spectator sport. Get in the game. Seek the Lord. Pray for His kingdom to come increasingly in your life. Paul uses analogy to encourage the believers at Colossae. He says, be rooted in Christ. Well, and I looked at all these, I'm like, they didn't have Bibles like we do. So they had to remember and recall and refresh. But being rooted in Christ, they understood how things grow. Being rooted in Christ, Jesus is the source of life. Have you noticed, church, that we have a new tree growing down by our mailboxes? That gum tree that we cut down, that 300-year-old gum tree that we cut down in the fall of 2023, I believe, is growing new things through the roots that are in the ground. It's above my head now. I look at that tree and I'm sometimes concerned for it because the winds, they push through and it gets pretty leany. But I'm reminded that the storms that pass through, that push against a tree, they actually work to strengthen the roots of the tree. Storms that don't involve lightning bolts hitting the tree strengthen it to go deeper and broader with the roots. Be rooted in Christ, church, because this world's going to bring you storms. Storms. The storms that we face can broaden our roots in Jesus Christ. Because during the storm, we look for more and we ask for more from Jesus to withstand the turmoil of the season. Isn't it true? Don't you turn to the Lord more when things are going bad and hard than you do when things are good? Praise be to God that Jesus is able to guide us and even carry us through the season of struggle. Rooted in Christ, I believe it has a component of us going to Him to be fed. How are you fed through Christ? Do you go and read the words that He said? Read His words. Gain nourishment from Jesus. Pray to Him. Meditate upon His commands and His example. Be rooted in Christ. We're talking about growing in Christ. Be rooted to the right thing. You got to be ingesting the right thing. Build up in Him. I want you to think of each of our lives to be like stones that are placed together to build a building called the temple, the church. Each of us together being built. You know what's the most important stone in our building? It's called the cornerstone, right? And who is that? Jesus. All right, so we're building upon Him. Paul's using these analogies. Be rooted, built upon Him, right? Build up in Him. Built together in Christ means supporting one another upon Jesus, the cornerstone. Adding our lives to the kingdom movement, we love each other. We share our gifts. We help. We realize that we're part of something that's beyond us. We're being built together, built in Him. So build each other up. The opposite of that is to do what? Tear down. I think sometimes it's way easier to tear down than to build up. So let's work at building each other up in Christ.
Being built up in Christ means that we, the building, reflect the designer, the creator. So take a second right now and think of Jesus' character, his work, his building, his kingdom actions. Think of Jesus' life. And now, think, are we doing anything like that? Do we reflect our Creator? Are we growing in Him? Do we see the love of Jesus among us, and does it flow through us to our neighbors in the world? Be rooted in Christ, be built up in Him. We're talking about the discipline of growth. Paul also says that as we continue to live our lives in Christ, that we should be overflowing with thanksgiving. So I asked this question of myself. Could becoming more thankful to God's blessings be one of my biggest growth areas? I turn more into being a grateful, thankful person than a whiner or a complainer. I hope I'm not a whiner and complainer. I'm looking. No, not at all. Maybe. Maybe. I know if I'm intentional about giving thanks, I got to direct my mind in a different way than complaining. What comes to mind this morning that you can thank God for? Through Paul's maturing process as a follower of Jesus, he learned the secret to be content in every situation, writing, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And he sang hymns of praise while chained in prison. Overflowing with thanksgiving can be based upon the blessings of the day. They really can, because they're around us. But there are some days where it's hard even to be thankful for those things, that we might have to recall who we are in Christ, what he has done for us, and the blessed hope that he has for us for eternity in order to produce a spirit of thanksgiving. So I'm just going to invite you to grow in Christ this week by saying thanks to God and generally be more grateful. You might be thinking, you don't have any idea what's going on in my life, and I may not, but I'm going to say being thankful during that may even just help you through that season. Finally, the last one is growth in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes growing means staying away from some things or shedding some things that are holding us captive. There's a verse that I have committed to memory. It's from Hebrews. It's not in our passage today, but it's one of those things that if I'm going to be a runner and I'm going to run the race well, I got to throw off all the things that so easily entangles, the sin, right? And run with perseverance the race of faith marked out for me. Sometimes our growth is shedding things, getting them out of our lives. There's a spiritual force in this world that is against the kingdom of heaven. The tricky thing for us is that the great deceiver, he makes things look close to the truth, or he has parts of truth in them. Remember that Jesus was tempted by Satan with Scripture. So Paul encourages the Colossians to avoid deception and captivity. In Colossians 2:4, he says, "I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments." Are we deceived by fine-sounding arguments? There were some in the church during the first century who were adding to the gospel. So my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters, is to be so immersed in the word that when you hear something that doesn't quite sound right, that you check it out. If it deviates from what you've taught and what you've heard, check it out. Now, this doesn't mean that we may never need to adjust our thinking, because here's a hard truth. We all have faulty and incomplete theology. We all do. Until we go and we live in the presence of God, we'll not see the whole picture. We don't know it all. We all have men and women influence us with teaching or preaching, and if we only tuned into a certain theological voice, we may think that anything that deviates from that is a fine-sounding argument and discount it. That's not necessarily what Paul is saying here. My study Bible suggests that Paul was encouraging growth in Christ by reminding the Colossians that salvation is in Christ alone. Some teachers in the church were stating that in addition to faith in Christ, one needed secret knowledge and also required adherence to such physical and external practices as circumcision, eating and drinking certain foods, and the observance of religious festivals in order to be saved. Paul says, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. It depends upon human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So we have to be careful that our traditions don't become necessities that we put on people for salvation. You understand that? I'm not going to lay out any particulars about that right now. I'm going to let the Spirit lead us and guide us in that. But if we require someone to, let's not get into specifics, Mark. Okay, let's not. Okay. Paul says this, don't let anyone judge you about what you eat or drink, about religious festivals or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. And we try to wrap our mind around the first century culture and context and what was going on here. Certainly, some of these were Jewish people that have come from a long history of doing certain things, traditions, practices, and like now this new thing of following Christ, you tell me we don't have to do all that stuff? Not necessarily. Because this is what it means in Christ. There were people from outside of the Jewish context that came to Christ, and they had different celebrations there as well. Now, church, this doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about like the Sabbath day in the example and teachings of Jesus. What does Jesus want us to do with the Sabbath day? What did he do? But Paul pointed to growth by reminding the believers, don't let anyone who delights in false humility or the worship of angels disqualify you. Perhaps things were being said like, you're not doing things right. You're not denying your body like we are. Don't handle that. Do not taste. Do not touch. And then judgment in the way of disqualification was taking place. Mere humans were saying, you're not really saved because you're not doing this. It's really not our judge to say who is saved or not saved. That's the judge of the Lord. Now, we should look for fruits of following Jesus. We should be transformed and we should be born again and alive in that. Paul says that these self-imposed worship, false humility, and harsh treatment of the body has an appearance of wisdom, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. I know this. This certainly would have led to confusion and division in the body. And Paul says, this is not how you're going to grow in Christ. He's not about divisions. So, in this point, in the kingdom of heaven is what we're looking for growth in. Instead of submitting to the elemental spiritual forces of this world and its rules. Not the rules of the world, but the rules of the kingdom. Not the rules of the world, but the rules of the kingdom. In this manner, I encourage us to routinely recall that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. That's how anyone is saved. It's through the work of Jesus Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. We confront the things that attempt to take us captive in our minds by routinely asking the Holy Spirit to inspect our hearts and minds and saying, lead us more and more into truth, discarding any hindering spiritual forces or rules of this world that keep us from growing with Christ. Sometimes, church, we say, and we will grow by saying, get away from me, Satan. Sometimes we grow by saying, this is not a thought or practice from Jesus, and dismiss it. Growth in the kingdom of heaven. All right, so we're going to wrap it up. Praise team, if you want to assemble, you can. But the rest of you, I got a few other things I just need you to hear. So if their moving distracts you, no, go ahead, move. They'll be all right. Here's the summary. Growth in Christ Jesus, we become more like Jesus. All right? If you had to walk away from it all and say, yeah, there's a lot said there, what am I going to take away? Growth in Christ means we become more like Jesus. More like Jesus. Jesus was obedient to the Father's will. Jesus pursued the lost. He left the glory of heaven to come here to earth to pursue the lost. Am I growing in that way? Jesus welcomed women, children, Samaritans, Roman soldiers, tax collectors, prostitutes, and lepers into his presence. That they were all countercultural. They were all no-nos for a Jewish rabbi. And yet he did. Jesus creatively taught the truths of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus generously cared for the broken, the hungry, and the outcasts. Jesus sacrificially loved. Growth in Christ means we become more like Jesus. My prayer is, God, help me. Help me. It's not about us just saying, I want to grow to be more like Jesus. I need to surrender and say, God, I need your help. Teach me, lead me, show me. So, church, I want you, I'm going to encourage you to do something each day this week to connect to Jesus Christ for growth. Connect to him this week. Don't go from Sunday to Sunday without thinking about Jesus. Connect to Jesus this week. Every day, I want to encourage you to shed anything that hinders your growth in Christ. And then also to thank God for his presence and his blessing each day this week. Thank you, God, for your word.